Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A busy, busy Monday in New York City, and Evan and Tiki, we will get to everything, including the good and bad from Aaron Rodgers' first real win as the New York Jets quarterback.
Whoop, there it is.
The great Joe Beningo at 4 o'clock.
You're supposed to say, thought you knew.
Thought you knew.
There you go.
There it is.
Making you hip, Evan.
That's impossible, Tiki. That's impossible.
We'll get an update on Francisco Lindor and when the hell did Gerrit Cole lose his courage. But yesterday, the New York Giants did something that I thought only the New York Jets could do. Lose a game that's impossible to lose. Lose a game that if I would have told you on Friday, if I said to you, all right, guys, this is going to happen. Daniel Jones, he ain't turning the ball over. He's going to play well, actually. The Giants will score three touchdowns. They will not give up a touchdown. And they will lose. You would have said I was nuts. And for most Giant fans, and there's a lot to dissect from this game, and we will attempt to do so over the course of the last 4 hours. I mean, Sean Morash already has a bag over his head.
Stop it, Sean. Take that off your head.
He's got a beautiful bag over his head.
I can't be seen.
Take that off right now.
The 0-2, Giants suck.
We're over. Nah, it's not 0-2. Maybe it's your 0-10 picks in the first 2 weeks.
Don't bring that heat on me, Barber.
So there's a lot to get to from this game, but let's start with this head coach because Brian Daboll made a decision. And that decision could have been altered in many different ways and could have changed the result of this game. Let me make this clear. Graham Gano not kicking for the New York Giants is not the reason they lost the game.
No.
Because the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders, but specifically Brian Daboll, would have played out this game completely differently if they had a kicker. In some cases for the good, like kicking an extra point and it working, and some for the bad, not being aggressive on fourth down. So it is not a definitive, if they had Graham Gano, add the points they missed on extra points, they win. That's stupid. It's a fallacy. It's not true. But Tiki, considering what happened a year ago with Gano, when he's on the injury report on Saturday with a groin issue, and Brian Daboll could tell us all day he's not a doctor, when there is an injury concern around your kicker, and you know to win a game, you're probably going to have to win one close, don't you have to protect yourself?
Yeah, you should protect yourself. And this comes down to just the understanding of the injury. Well, it was a groin. How did he hurt his hamstring? We've said this many times. If you have one issue and it's bothering you and you're favoring it, you're likely going to hurt something else as well. It always happens, right? If you have a knee issue, maybe you're going to hurt your hip, or you had an ankle issue, maybe you're going to start straining your hamstring or something along that matter. To me, this comes down to Brian Daboll being too loyal to his guys, because you got to know that he asked Graham Gano, how you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You good? You good to go? Yeah, coach. It's just a little groin. I'll be fine. And so he trusts his guys. And trusting your guys is fine. Trusting the medical department is fine. But sometimes it's common sense that makes you say, I need to protect myself in case he's lying to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, not intentionally lying to
me. No. An athlete who wants to compete.
100%. I had a broken forearm. You good to go? Yeah, I'm good, man. Are you sure? You can't take it? I'm good.
Well,
you just do it. An athlete's mentality is, I don't want to see somebody else doing my job. And if I'm in any way capable of doing it, I'm going to show up and be out there. And that's what Graham Gano, and I'm sure Dave's, believed was going to happen.
So to me, and you're right, and that's why no one can blame Graham Gano. You have to look at the head coach and say, wait a second.
Yes.
Why did you allow a kicker who had an injury last year that basically cost you a game? How do you allow him without any protections and any alterations to just go out there and kick? And I want to give you five different options Brian Daboll had that could have, keyword could have, solved the issue. A few of them are obvious. A few of them, I think, should have been obvious. Number one, you tell Graham Gano, thank you, sir, we're going to sit you.
Yes.
And I think that's the obvious
one. Yeah, we're not getting rid of you, but you're sitting down.
Now, what's the name of the kid they have on their practice squad? Judd McEnany? Is that his name, Sean?
McNamee.
I'm close. Judd McNamee. So they actually have a place kicker on their practice squad. So you got option number one. Hey, Graham, sorry, we know you want to compete, but you're dealing with a groin issue. We're going to be extra conservative. You sit for Judd McNamee. That's option number one. Option number two, you could have Judd McNamee active. Now, I get it, Teak. That's not ideal to have a third kicker on your roster along with Jamie Gillen, along with Graham Gonneau, and now a third guy. Totally get it's not ideal, but that's option number two.
Right.
But let's get to the other options that I am surprised Daboll hasn't been pushed on. Number one, Graham Gonneau shouldn't be kicking off.
It's true.
Think about that.
Right.
His value is kicking field goals. His value is kicking extra points.
Yeah, but what do you do?
You have Jamie Gillen kick off?
But we saw Jamie Gillen kick off, and most of the time he did okay. But there was one where he didn't.
And it basically cost him the game.
It gave the Commanders great field position.
It gave them 10 more yards in field position.
Which, by the way, when all you have to do is go kick a field goal, is an enormous thing.
Which is what they did. That was on the game-tying field goal drive. So I get it. It wouldn't have been perfect. But again, I'm making sure that the most important aspect of Graham Gonneau's game is kept safe.
You're 100% right about
that. Thank you. That's an option. Why was that not considered, Mr. Head Coach? Here's option number three. Tell Graham Gonneau, all right, bro, you want to kick off? There will be no returns. You boom that son of a bitch into the end zone, and you put it on the 30-yard line, no games. No games at all. And it has nothing to do with the fact that the first kickoff of the game was returned for a touchdown, if not called back for a holding penalty. So option number four is you tell Graham, okay, if you're going to kick off, just boom it in the end zone because bad things can happen on returns, especially with the new dynamic kicking. We talked during the offseason about potentially using a linebacker as your kicker.
Yeah.
Just have an extra tackler out there.
Right.
So there is a risk, and you put him in a more risky situation by A, allowing him to kick off, and then B, not booming it in the end zone. And I'll give you the fifth one, and I don't think the fifth one's talked about enough. We are way too reactionary. Jamie Gillen is a professional. And it sucked that he missed an extra point to start this game. Why did the New York Giants and Brian Daboll have to quit on him? Why did they have to immediately say, you know what, this guy can't kick. We're never even going to try an extra point. Why?
Yes. So
because Locke can't hold is the answer.
Maybe.
That was part of it yesterday. That hold was terrible, and they didn't have a backup holder.
Because let's not forget that Jamie Gillen kicked a field goal last year.
Yes.
He made one, and it wasn't short.
And he also was...
It wasn't a 25-yarder or a 35-yarder. It was a 40-plus yarder.
He also was kicking during halftime. Like, the Giants made a decision, and I'm not guaranteeing you he would have made these field goals or extra points. I'm just saying they were going for two immediately. It's almost like Brian Daboll said, I'm screwed. So one kick... The bad hold, as you said, by Drew Locke, the missed kick by Jamie Gillen was enough early in this game to say for a Giant team, how many two-point conversions the Giants even had last year? Do you guys know the answer to that?
One?
I think it was one or two.
Yeah.
So this is not exactly a perfected science, and based on the play calling of Brian Daboll, it's like...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
They've never even practiced a 2-point conversion. So I think that was another option that was completely thrown out the window.
Yeah. I mean, so look, I get going for two. It gives you, with your lack of faith in your kicker, the best option. And by the way, if you happen to get one, it makes up for two missed extra points. Or if you make both of them, then all of a sudden you've given yourself a 2 extra point advantage over what you would have gotten. So I get it, but you're right about the play call. the execution, and it's almost got to be. I mean, I hate 2-point conversions because it's hard to change a offensive quarterback or really anybody's mindset that this is score no matter or nothing. Right? It's score no matter what. So even if it's a dead play, it's a stupid throw. You just let me try something creative and put this ball where I never would think about doing. You got to do that because the 2-point it's you're not going to lose by being incomplete, right? It's just if it's incomplete, it's incomplete. But you got to try. It's got to be thrown. It's got to be giving yourself the best opportunity to get points. And I don't know if that's practiced all the time because it's changing a mindset of what a quarterback is usually doing, which is don't make a mistake down here.
Right.
Be conservative down here. Make the right throw. 2-point conversion, you have to flip that out and say, you know what? Let's just balls to the wall. Let's go. Right? That's how you have to do it for 2-point conversions. And it didn't feel like that for the Giants.
No, not at all. And they were very reliant on it because every time they scored a touchdown, they gave up on the idea of Jamie Gillen kicking a field goal or an extra point.
By the way, that is the one that I choose.
Really?
Just let him do it again.
See, of the five, I was curious where you'd go.
Yes, that one.
Do you tell Graham Gano you're not playing? Do you roster an extra kicker since you have one on your practice squad?
You just waste a position player.
Is it a waste, though?
No, but I just worry about, like, teams and, like, special teams and coverage guys. And you put somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, say, as a field goal block team, on the field goal block or field goal protect team, or on the punt protect team, and all of a sudden you're giving up a blocked field goal or a blocked punt, and that's worse.
Okay, you're right that it's worse, but usually if you lose a player, whether it's a special teams player, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's an offensive lineman, whether it's a running back, you name the freaking position. If you lose a guy due to injury, because it is football and guys get hurt, you usually have a guy who can play that position on your roster ready to play.
True.
When you lose your place kicker in Graham Gano, what Brian Daboll and the Giants told you is, we have nobody. I mean, it would be like when the Mets took Lindor out on Sunday, not playing with a shortstop, and say, well, we don't have one. Because that's what the Giants did. So I totally get, hey, it's not ideal, Evan, to have a third kicker on your active 53. Like, I get it. Or your 48, actually, if we're being technical here.
Yep.
Like, I get that it's not ideal. But once a player who had an injury last year that beat you in the ass, so I also believe in learning from your mistakes. That's very important as a head coach in this town. Don't make the same mistake twice. That I think you've got to be extra cautious.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because for whatever reason, I asked this exact question in our game this week from Andrew. I'm like, Andrew, I don't know Jordan Stout. Does he kick extra points too? Is he a field goal kicker? He said yes. So I think a lot of teams are going that way. Like, they're getting punters who know how to do both.
Right.
Or who did both in college.
Because, dude, it can kill your game.
Yes.
Like,
you've got to have an answer for it.
I can't tell you because the entire game is played out differently. That's why it's lazy to say, if the Giants had Graham Gano, they win.
Yeah.
Everything's different. Do I think they win? I mean, maybe. Probably. But everything about this game is coached differently. Even on Washington's side. You don't think the Commanders knew, hey, we're dealing with a football team that needs to get in the end zone?
Of course.
And there's good and bad on that, too. Obviously, it worked out well when the Giants are forced to go for it on a fourth down, and it works, and they score a touchdown. Like, does that happen if they have a kicker? No, probably not. But you've got to make sure that you don't get burned by the same thing you got burned by last year. And here's where I think this coach made it worse. Made it worse. This is not his death sentence.
No.
This doesn't end his career here. But after the game, I don't know if the smart move is to double down on it and almost act insulted by anyone suggesting why you would want to protect yourself and to say, well, I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
What does the hamstring have to do with the groin? I mean, coach.
Right.
Bro.
Yeah. There's a less defiant way to answer that.
Yes.
And so, but that's Dave's. People are going to judge him off how he answers questions. I have stopped even listening to what he says in his post-game press conferences.
That's a good idea.
I've stopped listening to his daily transcripts because I know he's not saying anything. And that's not a knock on him at all. I respect the hell out of Dave, and I actually like him a lot. I know what he's doing. He's intentionally being obscure and obtuse because he doesn't care to give us answers. And so I know you have to do it as reporters, the beat reporters that are there. I know they have to try to dig and get confirmation or understanding of situations that are going on within the team or even in a game or at a practice. But from a that's not important to me standpoint, I know I'm getting nothing out
of it. By the way, you're right. And I want to equate this. You want to bring everything full circle? I'm going to bring so full circle on this, you're not even going to believe it. Back in July, Aaron Boone said something that very much annoyed me. And we talked about it on the air and we played it on the air. And trust me, it's very relevant to what happened over the weekend. And it reminds me of Brian Daboll. And here's what it was. The Yankees didn't walk Rafael Devers intentionally on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And Luis Gil gave up the game-winning home run.
Right.
And so we went around the room and said, would you have intentionally walked Rafael Devers? By the way, the irony of all of this, considering what happened over the weekend, and we'll get to that later.
Garrett.
So Aaron Boone, and this is what pissed me off, is Aaron Boone was defiant in being almost offended that anyone would even ask, why didn't you intentionally walk Devers in the seventh inning of a 0-0 game? And my point to you is, Teak, I agree with Aaron Boone. I would not have walked Rafael Devers. But why are you insulted by a valid question? Brian Daboll yesterday, I thought, was being asked very valid questions about how he handled a kicker on Sunday.
I'm not a doctor.
And instead was almost like, we're a bunch of idiots. Why are we asking? What does the groin have to do with the hamstring? Why would I consider activating another kicker? And so that's the thing that drives you nuts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, it's a good question. In fact, I'm not asking you to die on the sword, but maybe you come out and you say, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes as a coach, you want things back. I F this one up.
Yeah,
well, I should have been more careful with the fact that Graham Gano had a groin issue, much like last year, and I should have played it a little bit more conservatively, whether it was not having him kick off, whether it was putting another kicker on the roster. That goes along a lot better than basically acting like all of us are a bunch of morons for asking a good question.
Yeah, but I think at this point, don't you know that he's going to respond that way? Don't you know that he's going to give you some, I don't annoy the hell out of you answer? And I think it's almost... it's almost like you're doing it, and people get upset about it. It's one thing to ask it and know he gets the answer and just be like, yeah, that's Dabes. The approach that I'm taking, yeah, that's just Dabes, versus this pisses me off so bad, I can't help but scream and yell about how much I hate Brian Daboll and how I think he's going to fail because he's picking fights with the media. And in New York, when you pick a fight with the media, you're done. How many times did you hear that today, right? Understand who Brian Daboll is as a head coach sitting behind the microphone. He's not telling you jack, period. No matter how much you want to hear what he's saying, he's not saying a thing, period.
So I want to say something very similar to what you just criticized, but I want to word it very differently because I don't give a rat's ass what he says to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So understand that my point of view is very different.
Go ahead.
I care what he says to Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, and the fans. I care what he says to the Giants season ticket holder who right now is spending all morning and all day calling up sports talk radio complaining that their head coach botched a kicking situation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think that goes without saying.
Well, and that's where
that's kind of obvious.
But that's where I think the anger comes from, not how he answers a question to Connor Hughes. No offense to Connor, who I love. Nobody cares about him.
Mm.
We care about us. And so it's the Giant fans saying, hey, I invest my Sundays in watching this team, and I believe we lost a football game because our head coach, with one of those menu options I mentioned, and I gave five different options on how you could have handled this better.
Right.
Instead of just doubling down on, well, why would you even suggest that?
Right.
Maybe you say to us, not the New York media, but to Giant fans, you know what? I would have handled this very differently if I was given a second chance.
Right. Well, or just be blunt and straight up, I screwed it up.
Yes!
That's all you got to say.
Yes!
Next question.
Yes!
I screwed it up. Next question.
Now, to head coach Brian Daboll, who's a big listener to the show, I now present to you Angry Giant fans. Let's kick it off with Joe in Bergen County. What's up, Joe?
What up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Evan, longtime listener, going back to you, Joe and Evan.
Appreciate it.
Kiki, I'm a lifelong Giants fan.
Love it, man.
You huge fan.
Appreciate you.
Now getting back to this, I'm not a head coach. I couldn't do Brian Daboll's job. I couldn't even do Joe Shane's job. But let's be real. Graham Gano is a 37-year-old kicker who had a very similar injury last season.
Yep.
he gets on the injury report, and you put him off at kickoff. Probably not the best idea. Why not put the Scottish hammer out there, Jamie Gillian, to do the kickoffs? And tuning in on the show when you guys start, I'm glad you guys brought up about the snap and hold by Drew Lock.
Yeah.
I haven't heard many people talk about this, but I'm so glad you guys brought up today and discussed that. When I was watching the game, I was like, are my eyes deceiving me? That's a bad hold. Laces out.
Right.
And,
even if that didn't, appreciate your call, Joe, even if that really doesn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
like the flight of the ball and how it moves, like it really doesn't do anything, it is a mental like hiccup for whoever's kicking the ball, unlike anything you would ever believe.
Yeah.
Because it feels like there's something in the way.
Well, you're also being set up where everything's changed. Your way of kicking extra points has changed. Now you're going for two, in which the Giants failed at it a lot last year
yeah.
and failed at it yesterday and had some awful play calling. And it's almost as if there was no preparation on a backup plan. A backup plan on what if Gano can't kick. A backup plan on if we need to go for two constantly. And the Giants were very unprepared on both aspects.
Yes, Sean, good job point bringing up the hold because, I mean,
they lost two positions in one. That was brutal.
Are you still wearing this bag over your head?
Look, I made some bad predictions we'll get to later in the show. I need to hide myself from that. I'm 0-10 on picks, but more importantly, as a Giant fan, I'm here for the 10th time in 13 years at 0-2, and I'm disgusted, and frankly, I can't take it
anymore. Of the five menu options would you have done?
I would have dressed two kickers. Yeah. Trey Hawkins played all of six special team snaps. You could find a guy that could sit. I would have dressed two kickers.
I'm looking at the hold. The laces weren't technically, they weren't technically facing him. They were facing the sideline, so they were sideways.
So you're saying it wasn't a bad hold by Drew Lock?
Maybe it was. It was just,
it was a little hesitation.
Yeah,
too.
It was like a hezzy, and so he got his hand out late. So it's interesting.
Everything needs to be timed up perfectly, right. As you know, on an extra point.
And how many times have Lock
and Gillen.
Lock
right.
and Jamie Gillen.
Well, but that's my point.
Practiced
like,
kicking.
But,
kicking.
But that's a part of not being prepared for this kind right? of situation.
I'm sure they did it on the sideline. They had to have done it on the sideline. I mean, I wasn't watching this game, so I don't know if the broadcast showed it. But as soon as Graham. Did they?
No, I was going to say the broadcast left a lot to be desired.
Well,
they definitely
that's what
didn't
I
show
mean.
That.
As soon as a kicker gets hurt, you have to go watch the whoever the new kicker is
right.
on the sideline.
Yeah.
Because it's going to become an issue, as it obviously was for the Giants.
Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys. Another wonderful year where the pool's not even closed and the season is dead.
It's still 80 outside. You got to keep the pool open for another week.
That's his response. I thought you were going to say it's not over yet. It's only 2 weeks. That's the pool. It should still be open.
Tiki, that's not really encouraging. But anyway.
I'm just trying to change the subject, Diego. You know how it goes.
Well, I mean, it's not going to get any better. But
no, you're right.
My problem with the head coach, right, what he did was negligent. We know this team doesn't have enough talent to overcome mistakes on the field. And you're sending them out at a disadvantage because the whole game plan had to change, right? You're talking about putting more pressure on DJ because now he knows every single drive has to end in a touchdown,
yeah.
plus everything else that has to go into it. And the fact is that for someone that teaches smart, tough, and dependable, what he did was not smart. And then to top it all off, he lets his rookie wide receiver sit at the locker room at the end of the game. And he takes responsibility. He says, I have to catch that ball, which he does.
Right.
But you know what? If the coach didn't make that dumb decision to start the game, maybe you don't have to throw it on fourth down. That whole drive at the end of the game could just
yes.
be clock management. We kick it, we win.
Well, that's why the whole game is completely different if they have a kicker and they're thinking, hey, we can kick a field goal. Like, on 4th-and-4 from the Washington 22-yard line, with a little over 2 minutes to go, in an 18-18 game, what do you think? I mean, are they going, especially knowing how conservative Brian Daboll has been
yeah.
over really last year and this year. So everything about this game plays out completely differently if they have a kicker.
Yeah, 100%. Now, do the Commanders still have an opportunity to come back and tie this game or even win it? Because this happened with the two minute warning hadn't even gone yet.
Yeah,
of course. But also, that's a first down. If Malik Nabers catches this ball,
yeah.
and this is why Malik is taking all the all the heat on himself. If he catches this ball, then they can run out a lot of the clock. And so,
or yeah, they're going to run out the clock. Are they going to set up Jamie Gillen for a 28-yard field goal? Or are they going to have to get in the end zone?
Right, there's an urgency. That's what we're not talking about.
Okay, so here's what Daboll said after the game. He said there was an amount of yards where he would have gone for a game-winning field goal. Now, he didn't tell us how many yards that is.
Right.
I also choose really not to believe him. Because if you're not kicking extra points in situations where clearly 18-15, I mean, let's just do some math here. If you're up 18-15, you kick the extra point. What are you doing?
Right.
Like, that's not even a question. So if you're not kicking, and how far is an extra point these days? How many yards is it?
It's on the 20, it's like a 34-yard?
34-yard kick?
Something like that.
I thought 36, but he might
be right. Might be right. I can't remember.
So 36-yard kick, no. Yeah, 32-yard kick? A 31-yard kick?
Well, Jamie Gillen has made one. It was 40 yards.
But he wouldn't let him attempt 36-yard extra points the entire day.
This goes to the other managing of the kicking situation. On that last drive, the moment Washington gets within 50-yard field goal territory, stop tackling anybody. You're going to need a touchdown. You can't kick field goals anywhere.
I
would have let Washington run free, surprise them, score, and get the ball back with 51 seconds and hope Malik Nabers creates some magic and get in the end zone and win the game.
I was thinking about that. He's right. Like, and to me, it started to hit me when it was, I think it was first down from the Giant 25-yard line. At that point, I'm realizing this Austin Seibert's not missing. All right? He's just not. Yep. He's made every freaking field goal. I would let them just get in the end zone immediately. Now, the problem is they score a touchdown, they kick an extra point. You got to score a touchdown and actually convert on a two-point conversion.
But still, right. Give me that chance with my offense.
By the way, Sean, the extra point line of scrimmage is 7. Or on the 15, they now do it 8 yards back as opposed to 7 like it used to be. So it is a 33-yard
kick. So think about that. Right. So this head coach wasn't allowing Gillen to kick 33-yard field goals, extra points the entire day.
Yeah.
So when was he going to allow him to kick on that final drive if Nabers made that catch?
A 40-yard field goal, which is the length that he has made in his career. Made it last year.
Yeah.
I don't remember the game that he did it, but he was 1-for-1 in his career, and he made it. So he just missed this extra point, which now all of a sudden in your mind as a coach says, we can't trust him.
More your calls, the Brian Daboll situation, Malik Nabers' incredible game / disappointing result. And Jet fans, when we come back, we get to you because the New York Jets won a football game. But there was a lot of things that make you scared and worried. We'll get to all of it coming up. Plus, second quarter, about 11 minutes to go in the game. New York Jets, Tennessee Titans. That's the answer to the question. Now let's play a game of Tiki Jeopardy. What's the question?
Second quarter,
about 11 minutes to go. Jets, Titans. Oh, it's a tough one.
11 minutes to go. See,
the problem is
the way I watch this game doesn't lend to me getting timing correct.
Okay. Well, it's the time of the game, not the time during the day.
I know, but I watch the game like truncated. It's like
and
weird in spots, but I'm going to guess.
Yes. What is blank?
What is the Jets' best offensive drive?
No. What is when Evan Roberts panicked? There was a moment when I felt panic because I tried to be calm. I really did. I was angry about the week one loss. Wasn't happy, but not the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
There are some warts they need to fill up. And as this game started and Will McDonald, that's my boy, got a sack on Will Levis. Oh, my God, here we go. Here comes the big time defense. Jet defense stalled when Breece Hall was hitting the backfield, when Aaron Rodgers had an intentional grounding. And then the Titans, with the help of the Jets' undisciplined defensive mess, the Jets committed 1, 2, 3 different penalties that let Tennessee just march down the field nice and easily and score a touchdown. And then the Jets had a 3-and-out. And then the Titans started doing again. There was a horse collar penalty on Chuck Clark. They converted on a 3rd down because Jermaine Johnson was called for one of the most egregious roughing the passer penalties. And right after Tyler Boyd caught a 17-yard pass and the Titans were set up at about the Jet 20, I panicked. I started talking to myself. I started texting my wife because she was in another room. And in fact, you want to know what the quote was?
What's that?
We wasted money on season tickets.
Get out.
And she's like, really? I thought you already knew that about the Mets.
No faith. No faith.
And then Everything turned because Will Levis is kind of a football idiot. That turnover, that little attempt at a shovel, and the Quincy Williams recovery, even though the Jets didn't score on the next drive, that felt like it calmed everything down. The Jet defense played a lot better after that. They forced another turnover two plays later when Levis threw in a double coverage and Brandon Echols picked off Levis. And then the offense started to hum with a really good-looking drive to get the game tied at 7, and everything changed. But there was a moment early, TK, I'm always about being honest with you.
Yeah.
Where I was very worried about the crap I was watching.
I mean, I could get it, but they were up. You were up. It would have been 14 if they go in and score that drive.
Yeah, it'd be 14 or 10-0, man.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be calm?
Not calm, but...
But what?
Confident. You got the best quarterback in the game, right?
Wow.
Isn't that what people are saying? Aaron Rodgers, he did look like it at times, especially on the touchdown drive where it was just dinking and dunking and empty, and it was pretty, you know, fluid and amazing.
Yes.
But you got to give credit to this Jets defense because they played so much, I won't say better, but more sound than they did a week ago.
They did a much better job stopping the run. And here's what they did that I really appreciate. Even though the Titans had a nice sustained drive on that final drive, it was a bend but don't break situation. Just keep the Titans out of the end zone. Yep. And they did. And Will McDonald, that's the guy I really got to point out, especially because of what happened to Jermaine Johnson. Will McDonald gave us a little glimpse of what he needs to be.
Right. Not who we want him to be, but who he needs to be now.
Who he now needs to be.
It's funny because the immediate response was, oh, this helps Hassan Reddick. Now they're desperate. I don't know if it necessarily changes the conversation. Because at the end of the day, the Jets are still going to have to want to pay him. It's not like he's just going to come in and be like, okay, now I'll pay for what I'm supposed to be paying.
No. It may have to change the Jets' thought on how aggressive they want to be in paying him, and it would behoove them to get something done with him. Mm. But in the meantime, Will McDonald, a former first-round pick in his second year in the NFL, needs to blossom. But I will say this about Aaron Rodgers and Will Levis that really made me feel good during the conclusion of this game as I started to give thought to what I just witnessed for 3 hours. Jet fans, for how many years did the New York Jets lose a game because their quarterback did something stupid? How many times over the years have we watched quarterbacks do dumb, inexcusable things in a winnable game that costs us from tasting the sweet nectar of a victory? And how often have we watched someone else quarterback the other team and brilliantly read a defense and say, you know what? I'm going to audible into a run.
Samuel Jets.
Or make a perfect throw on a third down. Or just know what the hell he's doing in that huddle. And so what was very rewarding about yesterday's win, I almost want to cry. Because it actually made me feel so freaking good. And if you're laughing at me, you just don't get it. Because you've had Eli Manning at quarterback, uh-huh. Or you're a Steeler fan, and you had Ben Roethlisberger, you're a Chief fan, you had Pat Mahomes. It was so psychedelic to watch the other team do stupid things and watch my team, at least at the quarterback position, do smart things.
Well, it matters when you have the best quarterback on the field. Not to say that Aaron Rodgers is always going to be that, especially at 40 years old, but when you have the better quarterback on the field, somehow things just kind of work out.
But you know what they had,
in your favor. Seriously.
But better, yes, I agree with you, but I want to parse that word just a little bit. Because there were moments from Will Levis.
There were
some really impressive moments from Will Levis. Ultimately, what did Will Levis in is he wasn't the smartest quarterback on the field. And I believe no matter who the New York Jets play.
And that's not like IQ smart. That's just decision making smart.
Look, it's also being in the league for 20 years. Will Levis is a baby. Maybe there's a day where Will Levis becomes smarter with the football. I don't know. I'm not going to end his career now. But it is really, really nice to have a guy quarterbacking the position, not to besmirch anybody. I'm not here to besmirch any other person. Zach Wilson! But it is so...
God bless you.
Thank you. It is so refreshing to have the smarts on the field. And then the calmness. Like, I watched his post-game press conference, and he's so chill, like he's drugged up or something. And he's like, yeah, you want to hear about that Breece Hall touchdown?
It's micro ayahuasca.
Is that what it is?
No, don't know.
He's like, just hey, joking. Media who's eating out of the palm of my hand. Hey, want to hear a cool story? So Breece comes to me and says, hey, I get one-on-one with a linebacker. Just let me go, and we'll be good to go. And I'm like, okay. listening to this, and I'm like, that's my guy. That's my guy. That's Breece Hall, my guy.
By the way, that's
Aaron Rodgers, my guy.
By the way, that's also smart quarterbacking.
Yes.
When you have a fast as hell running back lined up on a linebacker who has zero chance to run 40 yards down the field in stride with him, just throw it to him.
Just throw it to him.
Especially because he's got good hands, too.
Yes. So there were plenty of like negatives from this game. Really, the lack of discipline on defense with the penalties. That would be my number one thing. Well, besides losing Jermaine Johnson, which I feel devastated about for him.
It's kind of interesting, though, because I like the aggressiveness. The one Jermaine Johnson.
That's a BS call.
I agree with you. It was right on time.
Yep.
Now, maybe he was high, but I can chalk that up to the overprotection of some quarterback.
Yeah, some.
Some.
Yeah,
because, and I don't know where... Lamar Jackson did not get that protection.
So why the hell would Will Levis get that protection? Do you know the New York Jets won 3 years without a roughing the passer call? Like, on for them, I should say. Like a Jet quarterback being hit and a roughing the passer call going in favor of the New York Jets. So I am certainly used to guys who are not established not getting the flag.
Yep.
Why Will Levis gets the benefit of the doubt is beyond me.
I do not know. But as I said to John Harbaugh when I asked them this exact question, I'll try not to make it a race thing.
You think it's a race thing?
I don't know.
Will Levis is white, so I guess it's
possible. I don't know. Why does Lamar not get the same protections?
Yeah, you know who else didn't get protections?
Who's
Cam
that?
Newton back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
But wait a second. Zach Wilson got no protections. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to think of the moment where he was like running out of... This is the example that happened in the game I called. Running out of bounds. Clearly you've given yourself up and you get drilled. And it's, okay, whatever.
Honestly, it's so tough to remember individual moments at this point. I can just tell
you. I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to remember Zach having an egregious moment.
It felt with Zach, and you can ask Benigno, he'll join us at 4 o'clock, because I remember he used to cite this all the time, and it was mind-boggling how the Jets never got the benefit of a roughing the passer call.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was, well, we're not throwing it for him. Who the hell is he? He's not an established guy. And it was more the veterans getting the calls. When Aaron Rodgers got the benefit of the call, because I think it was Jonathan Simmons who was talking trash to him all day, it was like, yeah, it's about time.
Yep.
It's Aaron Rodgers. Sure, he gets the benefit of the doubt. But that call on JJ was abysmal, but it just sucks losing him. It sucks losing him, A, from a football standpoint, but more importantly, here's a human being who's developing into a star, and Jermaine Johnson's career has just stopped immediately because of a torn Achilles. Which is now official. Jermaine confirmed that. He released the video. Seems like he's in decent spirits.
Yeah.
But his Achilles has been torn. The Jets already had some issues on their defensive line and edge pass rushers, and now they lose Jermaine Johnson. And it does mean everyone's got to step up. Like, there's no crying in sports for injuries. Injuries happen. We'll get to that when we talk about Lindor later. Like, dude, this is a part of sports.
Yeah, but at least he's going to be available.
Yeah, we'll see.
He'll push his way through it.
We'll see.
You think?
Don't get ahead of yourself, Teague.
That's the man.
No, I love him. I just don't know if he's going to play anytime soon.
Anytime soon?
I don't know. You know how I know this, Tiki?
How? Because it's the Bets?
No, it's because of back issues. I have major back issues. I can't imagine someone walking with back issues, let alone playing baseball.
Yeah, but...
So I look at that.
We have no idea the severity of his back issues.
Here's how I know. It was enough for him to leave a baseball game early yesterday in the middle of a pennant race. That's what I know. But more on that later. As soon as we get an update on Lindor, because he is going for some imaging today, we will certainly pass it along. But for any Jet fan or Jet hater out there, they won a game. It was ugly. It was not pretty. There's a lot they need to clean up if they want to get to where they need to go. But I said this to you on Friday. Just get a win and get the hell out of town and beat the crap out of the Patriots on Thursday. And I'm thrilled that I was able to do something that Sean and Loogie weren't able to do yesterday. You know what that is?
What's that?
Celebrate a football victory.
Was that necessary? You were great up until that last part, because I'm keeping my mouth shut. Sean is biting his tongue because we're saying things off air here to each
about
other
what?
About your football team.
Oh, you want to rip them?
Yeah. Your quarterback
is... Too. They weren't perfect, but they won a game. Like, I'd be the first to tell you there are a lot of things they need to clean up. No one's denying that. But the one thing I've learned is that there are only 17 games in a football season, and you got to get as many wins as you can, and then hopefully as the season goes on, you got to clean it up. Like, that team isn't good enough to win a championship, clearly, but it's week two.
How many years in a row have they had undisciplined penalties on defense? How many years in a row?
I just mentioned that.
Okay,
he's not listening.
No, because Tiki says they're going to clean it up. They haven't cleaned it up yet. So I almost sound like the debate here. They haven't cleaned it up yet. What makes it sound like they're going to clean it up ever?
I don't have any confidence they're going to clean it
up. The quarterback moves in slow motion, which is fine if they protect him. He's moving in slow motion back there.
Aaron Rodgers is two games back from a torn Achilles. I don't know if he's going to look the same way physically today on September 16th that he's going to look on October 16th. And here's number two about that, which I'm also very encouraged by. Their pass protection has been awesome.
So much better than a year ago.
Yeah.
It is. Now, what did they give up? One sack last week?
Yeah.
None this week?
And he took a hit this week.
But did he get sacked?
Yes. He took a sack this week.
I don't remember the sack.
Yes. I got very worried when he took it. It was actually from behind. Took it from behind, went down to the ground, and I'm like, what? What's so funny? You all right? Why are you laughing?
You're right?
That was so funny.
Nothing.
Why is he laughing at me?
Just... No reason.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Aaron Rodgers took it like it was coming from the backside. Like, I'll give you the play. He was up. He was coming back. He felt the contact, and he braced for it, and he took a hit. Look, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be the mobile guy he was 5 years ago.
No. Evan, you're hot stuff.
Why am I hot? Boy,
you're hot
guys,
stuff.
I live in a world, maybe you not know, you, Tiki, where I can't
Evan,
enjoy a win
you can
without
enjoy
these
win.
Two numbskulls basically telling me you suck, stop watching.
You took the first shot. Go ahead, Sean.
No, Evan, look, you can enjoy the win, and if I was a Jet fan, I'd be ecstatic. I'd much rather be you today. However. You cannot come on this radio for weeks last year on this show and say, how do you know he can't play football in December? Hey, if we stay alive, we could bring him back. And then in September in week two, say, well, you expect him to be moving around out there? He's coming off an Achilles. You were ready to play him in December last year.
Exactly right.
In December, you hypocrite.
Well, what does that have to do with December?
The point is, don't make excuses. Look, I think the Achilles could be an excuse as why he's not moving around well, but I think people like you can't be using the Achilles moving around excuse when you thought he could play in December.
Well, first of all, I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to look like the guy he was even 4 years ago when it comes to mobility. And I pointed this out to Tiki. If you go back to that NFC Championship game, the field goal, the floor game is what I like to call it, when they kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down, they never got the ball back. Remember the game I'm talking about in the NFC title game?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, right before that fourth down play, had a third and goal in which he had an open lane to running for a touchdown. And Aaron didn't take it. He made a pass. I think he bounced it. It was incomplete. He is 40 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be that.
Right. He's not escaping the pocket.
No.
Or extending plays by using his legs. So I just went back and looked at the two sacks.
Thank you.
The first one's a covered sack. It's not on the offensive line.
I totally agree. Yes.
The second one, I think it's more on Aaron. The ball needs to come out quickly, and it doesn't. And so and that's not on him. He should just throw it away. It doesn't matter. It's a dead play. And he probably has the crosser, the back on the crosser, but he doesn't see it. He's not looking that way.
Well, and also, like,
I can't put these on the offensive line.
No,
the
no.
point was, we're talking about how much better the offensive line is.
Oh, it's incredible. From pass protection.
It's so much better.
I think run blocking, it can still get a little bit better, but from a pass protection standpoint, it's been amazing. And here's the other thing, because I do agree if the statement is, see, the problem with these two schmucks back there is they're very combative. Like, they want to fight with me about the Jets when there's nothing to fight about.
No.
They won a game.
They're just distracted by how you said Aaron took his sack.
Oh,
that was very dirty. No, very
but effective. If you say to me, look, Aaron doesn't look fast or mobile or like the guy he was 5 years, of course I agree with you.
What are you going to say?
But
no, he's an elite track star at this age.
No, he needs to be 40-year-old Tom Brady. And I know you guys love saying he's not Tom Brady. He doesn't have to necessarily be Tom Brady, but he's not going to be a mobile guy.
No.
That's why it's really imperative for this offensive line to protect him the way they have for the first 2 weeks. And I think that's very encouraging.
We're mad back here, Evan, because you formulated your opinion. You set up a fortress around your opinion where we can't attack it. Because you
what
said
was my opinion.
Your opinion
I'm
is
happy they won.
They got out of there with a win. So no matter what we say, you're going to say,
way,
"Well, they got out of
matters.
Here."
Thank you, Tiki.
Tiki.
It is all that matters,
Tiki.
Especially for this team, especially for the Jets. The Jets needed to win with Aaron Rodgers at the helm.
They needed to win. And I have expressed concerns that I have moving forward that they need to clean up, like their lack of discipline. Defensively has been an issue for years, and it continued. And I guarantee when Joe joins us in an hour, that'll be the first thing he complains about. And it's got to stop. Now, if your follow-up is, do you think it's going to stop? Probably not. Not based on this head coach and based on the track record, but that was certainly one of the biggest negatives. I do want to throw one more positive in before we get back to your calls, if that's allowed. Sometimes we don't pay attention to people that deserve our attention. Sometimes we don't give credit to people that deserve credit. Sometimes we don't wear jerseys of guys that aren't sexy. Mm. I want to be the first to tell you that when I'm in the building on Thursday night for the home opener, I am seriously considering buying an Irving Charles jersey.
Yeah.
Because Irving Charles in yesterday's game, and I know you guys were watching the Giants, those two over there, they don't even know who he is. And that's okay. I'm here to educate you.
He's a backup wide receiver. Special teams ace.
Special teams ace. He blocks a punt. On coverage, he made two incredible plays that I think saved field position of about 5 to 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He is a demon, and those kinds of things are very, very important. So once I remember what number Irving Charles wears.
19.
19? I'm in.
How did you not remember that? Because doofuses and schmucks who watched the game pointed out how much in these jerseys he looked like Keyshawn Johnson.
The reason I don't remember numbers, and I've expressed this to you
Keyshawn
guys on air.
Is so much bigger than him. What are
no,
they
but
talking
it's just
about?
That. No, it's that throwback jet look they have now with the 19.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
He had the Keyshawn
By the
look
way,
on.
You're still wearing the bag on your head.
Because, Evan, I'm a real fan, okay? And I've had it, and my team is 0-2 again, and I don't know which end is up, and we can't even dress kickers properly. So enjoy your cute win in Tennessee. Let me suffer and wallow in my misery.
Let's go to Flavio in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Flavio?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Always great. But, Evan,
yeah.
You've been doing this a lot of years, right?
Yeah.
I know you got to monitor what you're saying.
What?
But you were a little naughty there before. Dickie picked up on it. I mean, were you trying to say it's better to take it from the front?
What the hell is he talking about?
I need to ride Aaron Rodgers.
What? I didn't even understand.
You got a little out of order yourself there about 5 or 6 minutes ago. It's a family program, Evan. I know you love Aaron Rodgers. There's a poster of him on your wall, but you got to clean it up a little bit.
I'm going to rewind the Odyssey app and find out what the hell's going on. But first, Ray is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
What up, Ray?
Afternoon, guys. Listen, I am fed up with this regime. This head coach and this GM has not accomplished anything since year one, just like Daniel Jones hasn't. And, excuse me, I'm just tired of the fact that, listen, let me go through the reasons why they should be fired. First of all,
You're not going to get fired. Come on now.
Okay, but Tiki, hold on.
Go ahead, Ray.
All show.
I'm listening. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so listen, the egregious things that they've done so far. Of not getting Justin Fields for a fifth-round pick is utterly ridiculous. Whether you're going to start Daniel Jones or not, if you fall back to, fallback plan, he would have been great for a fifth-round pick. Nobody can argue that.
I agree with that.
Secondly,
Hold on. I'm going to rebut you as you go. The problem is that when he was getting talked about coming to the Giants, it was a lot more expensive than a seventh-round pick. And by the time that happened, the Giants had already made a decision. So keep going.
Well,
but you're right.
Okay,
you're right.
Well,
you're right.
Fault,
but I'm explaining you why. But go ahead.
No. And I get it. But they shouldn't have made a decision when they did that. They should have waited it out. That's what a great GM would do. But anyway, here's the other thing.
You know why they should have waited it out? Tommy DeVito. That's why they should have waited it out.
If they don't give $5 million right. to Drew Lock, they could. Here's my problem with Ray, okay, who seems like a really good guy, and I understand and appreciate his anger. 2 weeks into a season, in the middle of September.
Yeah, you can't make.
To me, you
can't pass judgment.
Is the wrong time to say fire the guy.
Right, which is why it was asinine for Dave's got to ask about job security after week two.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 0-2 teams in the NFL.
Let's get to that coming up next. Brian Daboll was asked about his job security, and he had a response, which we'll listen to and also physically describe. Plus, Giant and Jet calls. We'll get to the baseball coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. And the great Joe Beningo joins us at 4.